Trace, it occurred to me I didn't give you my scripture today, so let me do that right now. Well, kind of getting set. Going to be in Matthew 16, 24 and 25. And then Matthew 26, 36 through 44. And that should be enough. That should be enough. Good to be in the house today? Come on. God is good. God is good. Sorry, I've got to get this thing out of my ear so I'm not hearing my voice like that. All right, well, Prophet kind of gave you guys already an update on Apostle. He is out doing work, which is good. Amen. Man, are you guys with me today? Are you here? Are you here? Oh, you all went to Africa? Trying to escape the snow? Oh, it ain't that bad. Come on now. Yeah, we have a meeting tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. The bylaws, as Prophet said, are out there. We have made the adjustments based on the things that were brought up at the business meeting. Those changes are in yellow, okay? So I tried to highlight them for you. So if there's an issue with wording or if there's something else that we think we need to be tweaked, we are inviting questions. Charlie has said all the way along that the more holes we poke in this thing, the stronger it's going to be on the other side. Amen? Okay? Yes? Are you here? Talk to me, guys. Come on. Talk to me. So at least Charlie and I will be here tomorrow night. Maybe some of the other elders, I haven't asked them yet, but they might be here. So, but it's going to be good either way. All right, I got to tell you, I have just been struggling with this word this morning, and I'm going to kind of see where God takes this. So I have not been, I have been living out the last, 6 months of my life in front of you all. There hasn't been any hiding, there hasn't been any, I think I'm really going to do this, but God is really doing this. I mean, as things have happened, I have tried to be upfront. And through this whole process, it has occurred to me, and I got to see if I can say this the way that it's in my head. The Christian walk is not supposed to be easy. Great way to start off December, Christmas message, right? The Christian walk is supposed to be difficult, and that sucks. It's hard to hear that. We don't want to hear that. We live in a society where we like things to be easy. We like things at our fingertips. We have technology where we can get the answer to any question that has ever existed, right, through the knowledge of mankind. You have that at your fingertips. So we are set up to fail in this, right? But still, God is there saying, life is not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy, okay? As I was kind of walking through this thought and chewing on this, there's been a number of different things. And like I said this last week, and I might reference it later in the sermon, but Apostle gave Charlie and I this book. In the first couple chapters, the guy is just really diving into the story of Moses, okay? And I said it last week, but I'm going to say it again. This idea that God sends Moses out into the wilderness. He's there for 40 years, and while he is there for 40 years, the rest of the Hebrews, the rest of the Israelites, so however many millions of people that is, are still stuck in Egypt. Are you with me? And that really gave me pause, because a God that is willing to allow millions of people to suffer, to continue to suffer, to get one guy ready, that took me a minute. That's hard to get your head around. Are you with me? But that is the God that we serve. Yes? So as I've been chewing on this kind of this whole hard life, and you know, I'm thinking about Moses and I'm thinking about all this stuff, I listened to a sermon last week, and this was the words in the sermon. It says, "You have not been chosen by God until you wish you could give it back." You have not been chosen by God until you wish you could give it back. And I don't know if I'm going to do this all the justice that it needs, but I'm going to give it my dangdest Joel horde. Okay? So let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 24. Maybe? It's coming. It's coming. No, you're good. No issue. I got Matthew 26, so I'll read that out of mine. But if you can, maybe. Or would it be easier if I just got it here? Yeah, I know. I'm working on it. All right, so this is Matthew 16, 24 and 25. And so this is a famous passage. You guys have all heard this passage before. This is nothing new, okay? It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me,'" capital M, "'let him," what? "Deny himself and take up his," what? "And follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Famous passage, right? Yeah, about everybody has heard this passage. This is nothing crazy. This is nothing out of the blue. But I really want to spend some time with, what does it mean to take up your cross? What does that mean? What does that look like? If you do the Hebrew on that word cross, or the Hebrew Greek, I guess it would be Greek. Sorry. If you do the Greek on that word cross, it means exposure. One of the meanings is exposure to death. Exposure to death. So what are we talking about? What needs to die? Come on, somebody said it. Self. Okay, but what does that look like? What does it look like to die to self? And this is something that we talk about. We talk about it all the time in the church, but a lot of times it goes right over our heads, or we don't apply it the appropriate way so that it can make a change on our lives. Yes? So what does it mean to die to self? Put your old past behind you. Good. Stop being the ones making the decisions in our own lives. Okay, good. What else? Come on. Talk it out. Willing to let go. Ooh, surrender. That's a dirty word. What else? Time, money, talent, choices. Good. Anything else? To abide in him. I would challenge and I would argue that we can't abide if you're still being yourself. Get rid of your anger and fear. Ooh, nice. Breaking habits. Good. Nothing without the Lord. Now, what does that look like? Nothing without the Lord. Putting him first. Do we do that every day? Do we wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, direct my steps"? Put him above everything else. Do we put him above our habits? Do we put him above our choices? Do we put him above our preferences? Do we put him above how I'm going to spend my time, my money? Do we put him above who we're voting for? Do we put him above our sexual preferences? Do we put him above what we do behind closed doors? I'm asking, do you? Some, not all. That might be the truest answer yet. Amen. You know, as I have been walking this out, I mean, you want to talk about, I'm just going to talk about me for a minute because, you know, I went to school thinking I was going to be an actor. And I chased just about everything that I could think of to pursue that. And it was, I don't know who it was, but I think it was Matt had a word, and I don't remember when it was, but Matt had a word, and it was something along the lines of, Joel, you didn't even bother to ask me, meaning God. You think that's easy to hear? So now I'm sitting here with however many thousands of dollars of debt that I'm living with the ramifications of a choice that I made without asking him. I mean, think about that. Think about that for a minute and apply it to your own situations. I mean, I can go around the room. I mean, I know some of what's going on, but I don't know everything. Right? And thank the good Lord, these last 6 months, I am to a point where it's like, Lord, wherever you want me. And I can say that with a peace in my heart. Because I know, because he has showed me over this last 6 months. I mean, you want to talk about being the man of the household, not being able to provide for his family. My wife is struggling with the daycare. She's at her wit's end, and I can't physically... I cannot help them provide. It has been torment. But thank the good Lord, I have gotten to a place where it is, God, wherever you want me, because I can see your hand at work now. I can see your hand at work, and I know why you might want me in this position or that position. Might be nice if I follow my notes, huh? Mike, can I use you? I didn't think about this. But, I mean, you know, Mike's been going through a transition too, and correct me if I say something that's not correct here, but I want you guys to hear how this stuff is going on in the house, because I don't want you just to say, oh, die to self. I have to die to self. I want you to really think about what that means, okay? So Mike, and Mike and I have probably over the last 2 months, we have probably been closer than what we ever have. Is that a fair statement? Okay. So Mike, since I have known him, has always talked about wanting to do more, wanting to spend more time with God, wanting to do this, wanting to do that, getting more involved. Is that correct? Since I have known him. Okay? However, Mike has a tendency to fill his time with a lot of different things, and not all of them are kingdom. He is a busy guy. He works with his hands. He's a man that has no lack of talent. Let me put it that way. Okay? One of Mike's many talents and many loves is bowling. Mike used to bowl where?
Timberlanes.
Lucky Jacks. What happened with Lucky Jacks recently? Closed down. So all that time that Mike has that he was spending for bowling, okay, is now available. Does Mike turn it towards the kingdom?
No.
That's not me saying that. Okay? Okay? Mike found another hobby. In this other hobby, Mike got hurt.
Yep.
Almost immediately. right? And somebody gave you a word. Please.
So I was kind of in prayer, and God just kind of dropped a thing into me. He says, I took away bowling so you could spend more time with me, and you filled it with something else. And when he spoke that word, it just hit me, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's exactly what I did. He tried to open a door, and for me to step more into the kingdom, to do stuff that he wanted me to do. And I tried shutting that door. And he's like, uh-uh. He says, I'm going to shut this door. You can walk through the one I want. And what's and something else was interesting to that. So we got one of the people at work. They got this calendar with all these funny things on it. And like, hey, I ran across this one for today that wasn't sarcastic or whatever. She said, I have to give it to you. And what that was, he said, when God... Yeah, sometimes when God shuts a door, he locks it so that you can't get back in. And I looked at her, I'm like, there's so much truth to that. I said, you don't even know what I did. And I all cried, because it's just like that thing, just God just continues to reinforce that piece. I've shut these doors so you can step into the one that I created for you.
Mm. So God, or Mike, has a golden opportunity, and in his humanness, in his own choices, he steps away from what God is doing, right? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, and the word I think confirms it, that he shut that bowling alley down for you. No different than he made the Israelites wait for Moses. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So I want you to hear this stuff, because this is real. The problem we have... Well, let me do this before. Will you jump to Matthew 26, 34, or 30, what did I say? Good Lord. 36 through 44, please. Thank you. Then Jesus came. So this is right before they're getting ready to come and arrest him. So then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, thank you very much, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, if I said that right, probably not, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. That's number one. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, but your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So three times... Three times Jesus is, and it loses something. I think there's times when you sit there and you read it and it loses what actually happened. But he is warring right there with what he, the man, wants to do versus what the Spirit, what God is telling him to do. Are you with me? So if Jesus had to struggle with this, why do we think that we don't have to? Why do we think that our lives are going to be easy? Why do we think that things are going to be a piece of cake just because we love God? And that's not how it works. Are you with me? I mean, I'm not trying to be funny here, but like when I read that, I kept thinking about in the Lord of the Rings, where you've got Sméagol. You guys know this, I think it's in the Two Towers, where you've got Sméagol is going back and forth between I should do this or I shouldn't do this. And it's that war. It's that war inside of us, right? The problem that we have, and this I'm going to step on some of your toes, but there is a difference between self-inflicted agony and righteous agony. There is a difference between self-inflicted agony and righteous agony. There is a difference between Samson and Jonah, self-inflicted, and Job, Jesus, Joseph, righteous agony. Are you with me? And the problem, and not just this church, but the church universal, is there's a lot of times that we have more Samsons and we have more Jonahs because we make decisions and then our life is hard. And God is saying, if you wouldn't have done that, I'm not telling you it's going to be a piece of cake, but it would have been better. Mike, give me an amen there. Okay? So as we are moving towards this abiding place, okay, when we're talking about walking in lockstep with the Father, you have got to spend some time with where you're at. See, the beautiful thing about God is it doesn't matter. This is what's so cool. It doesn't matter if you made a choice like Jonah or if you're in a Job spot, God's going to use it. Right? We've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. You're only ever one decision away from getting back on track. And that's the cool thing about God. And if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Because it doesn't matter where you're at, He can still use you. He still has a plan for you. It might not be in His perfect will, but He can get you back on track. Amen? So I don't want you to sit here in woe is me and self-doubt and all this garbage. That's not what I want you to do. But I want you to spend some time really looking at where you're at, maybe why you're there, so that we can move out of it. Are you with me? Because if we don't start to do that hard introspection, we're never going to get to a place where we are abiding with Him. Yeah. Come on. Yes. 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 Right. 100%. I'm going to say two things, and then I'll maybe the worship team, you guys can come back up. I want to say Luke 14:27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross, small h, meaning us, and come after me, capital M, Jesus, cannot be my disciple. It's a mandate. It's an absolute mandate. And I'm going to tell you, because I want to tie this in, and I don't want to sit here and berate the fivefold stuff. But I'm going to tell you, as we move through this, there's going to be bumps. There's going to be some hard stuff. It's going to happen. You know? Like when Prophet is talking about acting as a servant and filling in a role, you start to do that, I'm telling you, something is going to come against you, and you're going to start to question whether or not we need to continue. I'm telling you that right now. It's going to happen. But if we are all pulling together as a body, God's going to work it through, and it's going to be good. Are you with me? All right. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. I just ask that as a congregation that we would, I know some of us have been doing this, Lord, and some of us are, it feels like we're tired because it just feels like every day we feels like we're fighting something. But Lord, I just want to encourage the body that you have a plan, that you have a purpose. Lord, I want to encourage the body that they would continue this self-introspection, because you work in levels, Lord. You work in levels, and when we get done with one thing, you're ready to take us to the next. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. We look forward with expectation for what you have coming down the pipe. God's people said, amen. Danielle, will you guys just do, you get the glory. If you want to slip out, feel free. But the altar's open if you want to come.